The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
To a brother of ours and the Lord, his name is Pastor Rob. We know him from, he's way up north. Some of you that like the primitive style living up in the woods, he's your guy. Because he's up there. So, I'm live now? Okay. And so praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. So as we go live, let's get in our word and be encouraged as we get in the word and the study today, and a little different format, that you may be encouraged and blessed. Amen. Amen. And let's go to the Lord in prayer and bless this time. And Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for what you're doing. And Father, we ask you to bless the people, to bless this word today, bless those of our family members. And we know people that are sick this morning, that are in need, that we just ask you to bless them, Father, that you heal them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. And Father, we just ask you to bless the givers of this ministry, that those that have to give, that you would bless them abundantly. And those that don't have to give, that you would bless them abundantly, so they may be able to do that in either word or deed or financial, however that those can, that they're blessing this ministry. Would you pour out a blessing on them so much, Lord, that they can't hardly contain it? And Father, I just thank you for this time as this word gets in us to encourage us, to comfort us, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you this morning. We're going to get in our word this morning. Those that are watching, hopefully now by Facebook, those that couldn't be here, hopefully that they're joining in. And welcome our extended River family. God bless you. And ministering today, and we're going to start off in Isaiah. So we're going to slow down a little this morning, let you get in your word in the Isaiah chapter 40. So as we're going there, I'll give you a few seconds to get there. The last time I ministered was on asking you, how do you encourage yourself? In the last month, have you found yourself having to encourage yourself or find people around you because there's been so much negativity and so much junk that you find yourself having to find yourself in this Word of God, in prayer, doing what you can to strengthen yourself and encourage yourself? And how did it work out for you in the last month? Because it was a timely word to help buoy you to now. It was a timely word to buoy me from my situations in the last 30 days. It's been a couple weeks since I've ministered, so now we're back in these scriptures of a timely word of saying, how do you encourage yourself? Because it's tough sometimes, isn't it? Do you get your praise music on? Do you get in your word? Do you get in prayer? Do you get around people? Or do you go to the bar and go to the chocolate and go to the wine and go to all the things that are substitutes? You see, because that was the old Corey. That was the old one that found the substitutes of the world to make me happy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? So what I'm talking about today in the last few weeks and last month is developing a culture change. We're not the same as we used to be, right? We're a new creation, right? We're not who we used to be. So in other words, we can't be who we used to be. We have to come out and be separate from that stuff and find ourselves submitted to God and in His Word to find strength. And I don't know about you all, but in these days, I'm needing to find some strength. I'm needing to find encouragement because there's so many people tearing down today that puts on pressure for you and I. Come on, don't leave me up here all by myself. To where you've got to find yourself around other Christians. You've got to find yourself as believers and find yourself in the Word of God and find yourself in praise and worship. Amen? And so are you in Isaiah chapter 40? Amen. Amen? So the Word of God says, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Now, here it says, capital G, for God. In my unsaved past, I may have had a little g there. And there's a lot of people putting a little g there. Because the devil will not try to comfort you. The devil will only try to kill, steal, and destroy and put more on you, put sickness on you, harm you, stress, pressure. How many of you had pressure in the last 30 days? God may be trying to mold and shape you, but let me tell you, the devil will come right in at the heels of that, and he'll try to put on you to destroy you and to get you out of your calling and to get you out of where God has you to be. It's not uncommon for the devil to come in and attack and double trouble you. And in my past, I would look at the little g, trying to find the ways to get comfort from things that are a cheap substitute. But God says, comfort, yes, comfort my people. You see, that's my agenda today. That's the message for today. Because let me tell you, we are living in a time, some of you may know a man by the name of Johnny Cash. Man in Black, right? He had this song, and it said, 5 foot high and rising. Anybody know that song? How deep's the water, mama? 2 foot high and rising. How deep's the water? 3 foot, 4 foot, 5 foot. You see, in the days we're living in, it's easy to identify the problems and the pressure. 2 foot, 3 foot, 4 foot. Oh, it's getting bad. 5 foot. It's getting worse. 6 foot. Oh, what are we going to do? Ah! Where and who will go and prepare the way of the Lord and say there's a more excellent way when we have our focus on only what's rising? I understand that there's problems. You understand that there's problems. There's shortages. There's stuff going on, right? But let me tell you, if you constantly look at how high the water's rising, you'll forget to look at the God who's your way maker and your provider through the storms. Amen. Come on, somebody. We all see the water rising. Got it. But who's making a way for our God? Who's helping comfort you and your neighbors and your friends? I'll go. But I can't go if I'm constantly absorbed about watching the water rise and the problems and the pressure rise. Are you here? There's a balance. We identify the pressures and the problems every day. Every Monday morning by 8:30. Here we go. But am I going to speak blessings today, or am I going to speak about the problem today? Come on. Amen? And I'm talking about a switch. I'm talking about a switch that says, this is the year of the Lord. You can be blessed this year even though the water's rising. Amen. Because God can still provide. He's still a way maker. He's still Jehovah Jireh. He's still El Shaddai. That's right. Amen? Many of you have grasped a hold of the getting back to your roots gardening. The Lord is providing, and there's meal after meal after meal. Some of you embraced the canning that we talk about, and preservation, and food, and storing, and dehydrating. Our grandparents did it. Mama did it. Papa did it. Throw a little fertilizer there around the tomatoes. Look, there you go. Now you got salsa. Praise the Lord. Amen. But you'll forget to bless the Lord if you're always looking at how high the water's rising. Right. We're going to get there. Verse 2 says, speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. but there's a transition happening. In Isaiah chapter 40, there's a transition happening, and there needs to be a shift. Are you here? There's a shift that happens when you recognize where we're at in today, but we also recognize who we are in Christ. And then when we recognize who we are in Christ, we have our eyes a little higher, not so low. Because when your eyes are low, what are you doing? Oh, it's 2 foot high. It's 3 foot high. It's 4 foot high. Where's your God at? Jehovah Jireh is his name. He's my provider. I'll not go in lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything.
Amen.
Come on. That's shouting music right there. That when you get a hold of that, when you realize no matter what you go through, that the Lord is going to equip you. How did Noah know how to build a boat? 120 years. Who taught him? It was sunshine. I'm just going to go build a boat. What? Are you kidding me? Did you fall and hit your head? The Lord knows how to teach us how to survive and how to find shelter and how to find safety and how to use wisdom in all things. Amen? Hallelujah. So verse 3 says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." Amen? Listen, you may feel like you're just all alone in this dry land. So I'm using a play on words because you think of water rising, but we're actually in a spiritual drought. Right? The pressures of life, the evil in life that's rising is because of a spiritual drought that's occurring where we need more of Jesus. We need more of the Word of God. Amen? It says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." You know what? It's time we get a hold of this and be those beacons of light. Amen. To prepare a way in this society, in this time. I tell you, I've had people recently that have just blessed my socks off where I didn't know how to get something done, but the Lord put people in my path to help me. That had a talent that either knew wisdom or instructions or had first-hand experience to help teach me so that I would know how to do something later. I've had people that have taught me how to can and how to prepare foods. Amen? I've had people that have taught me how to do this and do that, and you end up using it. Are you a way maker? Because you have the ability to prepare the way for the Lord to do something in someone's life. You can either shut it down or you can help encourage it. You can either talk about how high the water is rising or you can talk about how good our God is. Prepare the way of the Lord. You can talk about this sickness or you can go lay hands on somebody in their chair and pray and believe that they'll be healed in Jesus' name. I could have sat there and, "Oh, I'm sorry you're sick. I'm sorry." Or I can say, "No, I'm just going to pray for you. In the name of Jesus, be healed."
Amen.
Waymaker. Amen? Do we need doctors? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Do we need dentists? Absolutely. Do we need veterinarians? Absolutely. They're walking in their calling, but they have something to offer that God can use them to bless you and help you. Amen? Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. We can either make a way for our God, or we can make road bumps and valleys and mountains and walls. Amen. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. I don't know about you, and I don't know who's listening to me today and who will listen to me in years to come, but our God, Big G, can make a way. When we're scared, when we're fearful, when there's more bills than there is paycheck, come on, somebody. When there's more vehicle breakdowns than you got parts for, when you got family issues, you got relationship issues, you got truck issues, you got car issues, you got kid issues, you got finance issues, Come on, I'm just being real this morning. You got to ask yourself, who do you go to find encouragement if you're dealing with this? Any one of us can deal with it. Who do you go to? My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Doctors are awesome, but doctors can't fix everything. I would suggest praying for your doctor that he may help you. Right? When I had my eye surgery, I was scared to death. And then I got a hold of some praise music, wasn't scared, and I started praying for my eye doctor. So guess what? You're in a touchy area right now. I'm going to pray for you that you have a great day. No coffee for you in the morning. No super caffeine. Don't want your hands shaky or nothing like that. I want you blessed. Can I bring you some breakfast? Something. I want that doctor to have a great day. Right? You don't want them stressed out when they're working on your eyeballs. Right? I get you smiling a little bit this morning. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And you can be that light. The glory of God can be a light onto your path as well. If He did it for me, can't He do it for you? Or is He not big enough in your life? You see, part of the message last time and this time is God must become bigger. If God is small to you and your problems are so big, we've got to switch that. We've got to turn the binoculars around. If the water's rising, I don't see anything but the water rising. I don't see everything but empty seats. I don't see anything but fear. I don't see anything but shortages. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not lack anything.
Amen.
There may be some things I want, but the things that I need, I shall have provision in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. Amen? Come on. Come on. See, we gotta remember that we are somebody in Christ Jesus. We got to remember that God has put anointing and a call on us. We've got to remember who He is and how He's our provider. And He's El Shaddai. He's Jehovah Jireh. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So I want to comfort you this morning. I want to encourage you this morning that when we go through the turbulent waters, that He is the one that can calm all the seas. Amen?
Amen.
But let me tell you, I've had to do some searching in the last 3 weeks since the last time I ministered. I've had to do some searching of some things. There's some things that I've had to, for lack of better words, come out and be separate from. Because what you watch and what you hear will affect or has the ability to affect what you say.
Right.
Does that make sense? So if I put fear and doubt in, and I put the Bible in, what comes out might be a blending of both fear and faith. And we've got to kill our fear and feed our faith.
Amen.
That's what Pastor Summerall used to say. There was a man that Pastor Summerall would go see as a young boy, young man, I should say, 25 years old. And he would go to his house. He got invited there. And the man had this accent, and he would say, "What's up?" And he would talk to him. And Lester Summerall came there with an umbrella in one hand and a newspaper in the other hand. Who am I talking about? What is it? Smith Wigglesworth, right? Okay. And he asked him, he says, "What's that in your hand?" He's like, "Well, it's a newspaper." "That not be in my house." And he had that accent. "Get it out. Not to come in my house." So Pastor Sumrall, Lester Sumrall time, threw it in the weeds and came into his house. And sometimes I wonder if there's a misteaching there, that as we understand the water rising and we understand the times we're in, but yet not to be blending the lies of the devil with the Word of God, because if you put in the lies, you might find yourself speaking them and not even knowing it. And you have to ask yourself at some point in time, and I've had to ask myself this, I don't know about any of you, I've had to ask myself, what's real? What's truth? Where's your source? Oh, they say this, and they say that. Well, who's they? They say that it's going to be this. Well, who's they? Where do you put your trust in? Who do you put your faith in? Because if I put my faith in that newspaper more than I do this, then I'm going to find myself speaking to you things that might be in error. And I found myself having to come out and be separate sometimes because I can't always tell the difference. The Word of God is true. It's your baseline. But just like then, he was teaching a young Lester Sumrall that that thing had lies in it. And if that thing had lies then, how about today? Social media? Is everything true on it? How about the news? Is everything true on the news? Can you believe everything that's on the news today? How about your favorite YouTube Podbeam podcast? I mean, surely they're on there, so everything is true on that, right? The answer is, no, it's not. And the truth be told, we can't always tell what is truth and what is lie anymore. Because there's a great delusion going out that what some say is good is now evil, and what some say is evil is now good. People are ministering the Word of God and calling us crazy people, that we believe in God, and that's evil now in some eyes. But abortion's okay. Killing babies is okay to some. Does that make it right? That don't make it right. That's against here. Right. Just because enough people say it's true does not make it true. And at some point in time, you've got to come out and be separate at some time. If you can't tell the difference, get back in here. Now, some can tell the difference. Some are knowledgeable enough to discern and tell the difference. I'm going to stand before you, before God, and before Facebook, and say, sometimes I can't always tell. So if I can't always tell, you know what that means? That means if I can't tell which brownies are in the bowl are actually brownies, and which ones that look like brownies that came from some dog, maybe I shouldn't have that bowl. Is that too graphic? Because I need to know that I'm eating true brownies. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm preaching better. I'm getting some amens. Because if you can't tell the truth or what is truth, you might be living a lie. You don't want to live a lie. And if you can't tell what's true, you might be led on a path that's wavy and winding and full of pitfalls, and you're not going to find any encouragement in that. You need the Word of God to encourage you, because He makes the way straight. It's a narrow path, right? Come on, somebody. And Pastor Lester Sumrall was taught that, hey, just like I'm being taught, and I was being ministered to a mighty man of God recently, and he said, if you can't figure out, you find something not true and it doesn't line up with the Word of God, his advice to me was, back away from it. He says, study to show yourself approved, be like the Berean, study it, but if you find things that don't line up with this Word of God, caution. There's something in your spirit that says, if it's not right on, then go, wait a minute, I need to study this. I'm not going to take this as literally the gospel. Amen? And I found myself doing this. Why am I telling you this? Because things discouraged me today. And I had to get back in this Word of God. So in my transparency, I hope that I help you, because if you don't know which way to go in these days, you might find yourself in a ditch. And if you're being led by someone that doesn't know where they're going, then you're both going to be in the ditch. That's what the Word says, right? So to encourage you, I can't be an encourager if I'm in the weeds of the lies of the world. Does that sound all right? How can I speak Bible and speak the Word of God if out of my mouth speaks one way and speaks the other way? Isn't that a sign of a double-minded man? Right? So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if I've got lies and deception and the Word of God in there, I've got a problem, because I have something in my heart that needs to get out. Right? And only you can do that. You have to determine for yourself that says, you know what? I'm watching news more than I'm in this. Right? And no one wants to hear that. But if I'm watching the news and on my phone more than I'm in here, then I need to reevaluate my relationship. And I need to come out and be separate from that. Otherwise, I can't find encouragement to give to you. Hello? I can't give you an ounce of encouragement if I'm not in this Word. Amen. So maybe I'm doing a little more teaching today on a Wednesday than maybe on a Sunday. Because I can't give away what I don't have. I will give away what I have. So if I give away to you nothing but the news, you ain't going to find an ounce of encouragement in that today. But if I can get in this Bible and I can share the Word of God with you, then I can be a light onto you to help you in your time of need. Because that's where you're going to find faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God, right? So I've got to kill my fear and feed my faith. Well, how do you? I just told you how you feed your faith. Right here. So out of your 24-hour day, how much time is in here? I'll just tell you, I've got to step up my game. Because these times are evil. These times are tough. These times the water's rising. I've got to get in my praise music more than I ever have. Amen. Sister Dee played for our prayer time this morning. Beautiful songs that just pulled me right into the presence of God. And I was like, praise God. That's what we need today. We need to find ourselves being encouragers. Amen? You know what happens? People leave the church and people find themselves being pulled away, and they're more comfortable sitting in their chair than they are here with you. How do I know this? You watch enough of the news, you won't want anything to do with God. Right? Amen? But when you get your praise music on, and you get in your Word, and watch things change. So, all that probably seems easy to understand, to teach, right? But here comes the challenging verse for you this morning about applying the Word of God. Because this Bible does you no good until you apply it to your life. Right. Amen? You can have 10 of these on your shelf, and if you never open them, there's no power getting transferred into your spirit. Amen? So can you go with me to Psalm 34? And the Bible says, as David talked about, David was a man after God's own heart, right? But didn't David sin? Yep. Didn't David lie? Yep. Didn't he do things he shouldn't have done? Yep. But yet he was called a man after God's own heart. Yep. You know why? Because he knew what it meant to repent and turn and get back chasing after God. Right? So none of us are perfect. None of us can fit all the legal laws. None of us can do everything right, no matter how much some people try to make themselves seem like they can. You can't hit the bullseye every time. Let me just help you out. I can't do it either. I have to put my faith and trust in the Lord just like a parachute. Just like as that water's rising, I've got a boat that will handle the storm. Amen? So here's your verse. I will bless the Lord at all times, even when the water's 5 foot and rising. Hello? Even when the cupboards are getting a little lean. Even when the gas tank's getting a little low and you know you've got to go to the gas station tomorrow and go through that all again. And it's $75 and up nowadays to fill that thing up. And some of you that got trucks, you know it's clearing the $100 bill mark. Right? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like that too much. But the Word of God says, I'll bless the Lord at all times. Easier said than done, isn't it? Right? When you're not feeling too good. When you're under attack. When there's more bills than there are paychecks. He says, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It's an effort. It's an evolving, growing spiritual walk. And the more I watch the water rising, the more I realize I've got to turn from that and get my eyes up higher. Because as soon as you and eyes are up higher, then we can praise the Lord continually. But if our head's down, looking at the problems, it's going to be tough to get this verse. How many of you like to can? A few of you. So I have a dear friend of mine. She lives over by Winnemac now. And we have this mutual thing that just touches our hearts. And every time you can a vegetable or you can something, and that top of that lid goes, you know what I'm talking about? I can't make the sound, but it's, you know, the top of that lid seals tight. That makes sure that vegetables or fruit or whatever, your meat or whatever, is sealed and is good. And every time I hear that when I'm canning, praise the Lord! You know, I got some free vegetables from a neighbor. I thanked my neighbor. And I had some vegetables from friends and here at the church. I thanked them, but I praised the Lord. Amen? I didn't say, praise my neighbor. When that thing hits, it's like clockwork now. It's in me. Seals down, praise the Lord. And you may, I had 6-7 jars this weekend that I made a small batch. Praise the Lord. Every time I heard that little pop, so I just plant that little seed in you that love to can. When you hear that sound, praise the Lord. That's another meal. When the snow's flying this winter, you open that jar and it does the opposite. It's like, praise the Lord! Got my tomatoes for my chili. And it puts a smile on your face. Is it work? Yeah. Is it tough? Is it weeding? Is it doing all the things? You see, Jesus loved to talk about the gospel and compare it with agriculture. And I love to also. Because you've got the weeds, you've got the dirt, you've got the water, and you've got the junk. But there's a harvest to be gained. There's a joy to be had if you can find the joys in all your struggles. If you can find the joy in all the problems. When work is just crazy stupid. Don't let them win. Don't let them win. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Don't let them make you quit. Don't give them the power. Don't give them the power. Greater is He that's in me. The pressure's on. Not today, devil. Not today. I got a job to do. I got a family to raise. You're not going to get me out of my place where God's put me. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 2 says, My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Do you see, there's a switch here that happens. At first, it's all about you and the Lord. He's talking about, I will bless the Lord. His praises shall be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. But then it switches. And he now urges, once he got his mind right, and he got his heart right, and he identified that no matter what I'm going through, no matter what the storms are blowing, no matter how high the water's rising, I must bless the Lord. Oh, we know how to ask for His blessings, but do we know how to bless Him? Bless my mess, Lord. Bless my car. Bless my home. I pray over this home. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. No sickness shall come near me. I pray over my finances. Pray for my brothers. Pray over my neighbors. Pray over my church family. Now, where's the second part of your prayer? Thank you, Lord. For me, it's at the beginning of my prayer. I'm going to bless the Lord first, and then I'm going to ask Him for His blessings. Amen. I always start out my prayers with, thank you, Lord. Amen. I appreciate what He's done for me in my life, and I have an expectation that His goodness and His blessings will continue on that what I'm asking. But if I'm always the asker and I'm not the blesser, how's that work out with you and your kids? If they're always asking and there's no reciprocal, you love them, I got it, but doesn't it a lot nicer when they come up and they want to spend some time with you and then you're able to bless them? Right? Well, the Lord likes that too. Those of you who have young kids, or remember your young kids, you may have had the worst day ever at work, and you get at home, and here comes your 2, 3, 5-year-old just say, Dad, 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 Mom, Mom, Mom. Right? Changes everything, didn't it? You could have had the worst day ever, and a 12-year-old coming up to give you a hug just changes everything. Or a grandbaby, right? You think it's really any different with the Lord? We get good at asking for His blessings, but have we adapted our mouths and our hearts to say, Lord, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the provision today. Thank you for those jars of relish. Thank you, Lord, for those peppers. Thank you, Lord, that I've got enough gas to go to work this week before I have to fill up again. Thank you, Lord, that we saw a reprieve in the gas prices a little bit. From 5 to 4.42. Praise the Lord with me, right?
Amen.
Amen? You got to look for these things to find, to be grateful as you see the water rising, okay? So he says, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name. So in other words, the call is for us to now go together magnifying the Lord. And if you magnify something, what are you doing? You're making Him bigger in your life. You're making Him first in your life. You're making Him higher in your life. The water may be rising, but He's above the storms. Amen? And then he says in verse 4, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. If you've had fears recently, let me tell you, me too. But He's delivered me from those. And He can deliver you from those too. Put your faith and trust in Him. And you're like, well, you don't know what I'm going through. I got it. I know. You don't know what I'm going through either. We're all going through something, but we all know who we can go to. They looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Amen? I don't know about any of you, but I've had some days of lack, and I've had days of much. And I know how to be content in both of them. Just like the Apostle Paul said, I know what it is to have much, and I know what it's not to have much. But I know what it's also like when the Lord saves you out of your troublesome mess. If He can do it for me, He can do it for you. And the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. Do you pray like that? Pastor Burkhart and Sister Averill, they taught me years ago, you pray over that car before you go somewhere. I want him all the way around this vehicle. It's like the ultimate bubble wrap. Hello?
Yeah.
Amen? Verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." So what's he doing here? He's inviting each one of you. And he's inviting every one of you on the broadcast, as I'm doing, inviting you to another level to taste and experience something greater with God. That Jesus become greater in your life. That though the problems are rising and the storms have come and the pressure is on, but can I get your eyes a little higher, and that you would take a taste of what I'm trying to describe today, of how you can find peace. Now, I can't find this peace if I'm living in the world. I can't describe to you at all if I'm not in this Bible and I'm not in prayer, because I will not be the right guy for you. And you won't be the right person for someone else. But if you can get in this Bible and get the Word of God and build your faith up, and then invite others to say, listen, I know what it's like to slip. I know what it's like to fall. I know what it's like to be in trouble. But I also know what it's like when God delivers you out of that. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Do you trust Him today? Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. So now look what He's doing. He's got His relationship. He's encouraging you to have a relationship. Now He's begging you and asking you to taste and see this greater level of faith, to switch things in your life, to switch things from focusing on the storms to focusing on God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. God the Father, God the Son, God the Comforter. Amen. And He's telling you that blessed is the man, you can put your name, is blessed is Corey, blessed is whoever, your name there, blessed who trusts in Him. Amen. And now He's going to another section where He's describing to say, oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. Now, some people have publicly disrespected when I'm trying to talk about the fear of the Lord, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom, so you kind of need it. It's kind of important. And this fear of the Lord is not to be afraid of Him, but it's to now go to another level of honoring Him. That when you honor Him with your lips and what you're saying in your speech. Amen? It says, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. Hello? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. So, in other words, that fear is honor. That fear, that word is high respect. That if you would honor Him, you His saints, there is no want to those who fear Him. You may feel like you have certain things, but yet He's always the one that provides for your every need. Amen. Verse 10 says, the young lions lack and suffer hunger. So here's the distinction. There's going to be people you know, and there's going to be people of power. There's going to be people of authority. There's going to be people that are younger than you. There's going to be people that have more money than you. And they're going to suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord, come on somebody, shall not lack any good thing. Now, you either believe this word and you put your faith and trust in it, or you're going to waver and be fearful, talking out both sides of your mouth. And I've got a work to do. Is that okay? Can I tell you that? This is potter's material for me saying, but the water's rising, Lord. But the pressure's rising, Lord. And then you hear, He's got this, right? But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Verse 11, come, you children, listen to Me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So in other words, David is saying, yeah, I've messed up, but I'm going to teach you what it's like to fear the Lord, to have reverence, to have respect. As he was a psalmist, he loved to praise the Lord, right? Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? How many of you fit that bill? Who is it here that desires life? Who is it here that desires abundant life? Come on, right? Who loves many days that may see good? I don't want to go tomorrow. I've got things to do yet. I've got a family to raise, right? The Lord says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And today's the day. Well, then today's the day. But I've got things on the radar. Amen. I want to see many days. So he asks this question, and then he gives you the answer. Keep your tongue from evil. Interesting. In the old days, the newspaper was called evil because it contained a whole bunch of lies. How much more do we have today? How much more exposure do we have today with social media and internet and everything else of susceptible to the lies? I'm going to say it's pretty high. You can do a scan in 30 seconds and I can find all kind of stuff. Half of it's true and half of it's not. But the Bible says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. In other words, speaking lies. If I fill this brain with lies, it's going to come out of here. And if I don't know what's truth, I've got a problem. You know what I do? If I can't distinguish what's true and not, it's better for me just to be still. Because then I get confused and I get discouraged, and then fear comes in and devil comes in with those fiery darts and plays with my head, and I start worrying about my job and I start worrying about the things around me. I start worrying about provision. And God says that He's my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. That's truth. Amen? Amen. It says, seek peace, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace. That's what I'm going after right now. You know where I find my peace? Right here. Not from the news. I got no peace in the news. I go right here. Praise and worship music. That's where I find my peace. Right here. Amen. The eyes, in verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. Do you know that the Lord is waiting to hear from you on what you have need of? It's true. His ears are open to their cry. You know what? On the righteous. You know what? Because righteous is, you're in right standing with God, believers. You have an open line of communication. Now, if you've got sin in your life, what's the Bible say? It says sin has separated you from God. It's time to repent and turn and renew the open line connection. Get the Ethernet connection, the Wi-Fi going, right straight to God, for He hears and His ears are open to your cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Hello? You think they're getting away with it right now? You think all these things that we see in the news and all the evil things going on in the world, do you think that they're actually getting away with it? You think the Lord doesn't see what's happening? The Word says that His face is right against them. Go ahead. Go ahead, tempt God. See how good it works out for you. Right? It says, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, and to cut them, and to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. That's not good, folks. They're going to give an account someday. Don't you worry. There's a heaven to be gained and a hell to be resisted, shunned, right? They think they've got it all figured out right now, but let me tell you, if these things that you see, all of us see the news, all of us see the stuff, but you think they're going to get away with this, they're not. They're going to give an account someday. The righteous, believers, cry out, and the Lord, now I'm not talking about self-righteous. We got to make sure we're covering that. I'm talking about one who's truly repented and turned. Amen? Not self-righteousness where God is only love and I can just do whatever I want and cheap grace. That once saved, always saved. That's not biblical. okay? You must repent and turn. Amen? The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of... You got a list? I got a list. I don't know about all you. Well, you're a pastor. You're not supposed to have any troubles. Oh, yes, I do. You're not supposed to have any fear. Oh, yes, they come in. The fiery darts still come in. The seeds of the enemy still come in. I'm no better than any one of you. I just know that I have to get here, or else I'm not happy. I got no strength unless I'm in this word. Amen? The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. Oh, you're going through something right now. Let me encourage you. God hears you. He's near to you. We've got people that are praying for their family, for their mom, their dad, their son, their daughters. And you're broken before the Lord. Let me assure you, God hears. God hears. He's near to you. Let me tell you, don't let anybody deceive you. He's near to you. He sees. He knows the plans He has for you. Amen? And save such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions. Now look, he's switching again. He's tried to encourage you. He's tried to help you. He's tried to get you to have your eyes a little higher. He's tried to get you to glorify God. He's tried to encourage you to know that you're not alone in this struggle. That you have people praying with you. And that lift up your eyes, because where does your help come from? All these things, right? And then he tells you and he warns each one of us that many are the afflictions of the righteous. We're going to go through stuff, folks. You're going to go through battles, and you're going to need the Word of God. You're going to need praise and music. You're going to need prayer. You're going to need your brothers and sisters in the Lord. You're going to need a help once in a while. You can't do this on your own. You can't do it on your own. You can try, but you're going to find yourself discouraged. He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Amen? He guards all their bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of His servants, and none of those who trust in Him shall be condemned. There's great hope found in Christ Jesus. There's great joy available, but how often do we look at how high the water's rising and the problems and the pressure instead of realizing that where my help comes from? And that's the message this morning. That's the teaching this morning. Because every one of us needs something to get us back to the foundations of true finding encouragement. How are you finding encouragement? How do you spend your time? How do you keep yourself happy? Well, for me, I used to just buy new trucks and new boats and new fishing rods. That was great. Till 30 days later and I had to make the first payment. Then it wasn't so great anymore. Happiness comes and goes. Joy is what you put your foundation on. Joy comes from the strength of the Lord. Joy comes from the Scriptures. And if I can teach you anything, is that you look to here and build your faith to grow in what I'm trying to talk about. Do I have everything figured out? No. Those watching, do you think I've got everything figured out? Absolutely not. But my mission today is to be that light to you that gets you back to here and gets you focused on here. And getting your focus back to the small, still voice. Because the enemy's on both shoulders shouting loud in your ears. And we've got to be able to navigate the straight and narrow path. And the only way that you and I can navigate that path is that we're on the good path. We're on the right path. Amen? That's my encouragement to you today. If you're having trouble, if you're having afflictions, like we will, if you're seeing the pressure, if you're seeing the weight of the world, if you're seeing the stuff going on, get back to the basics. Maybe shut off the TV a little bit. Maybe shut off the YouTube a little bit. Maybe shut off the podcast for a little bit. And maybe get your audio Bible on and just sit in your chair for an hour and just listen to the Bible. Because faith cometh by hearing. Amen? Starve your fears and feed your faith. Amen? God bless you. We'll see you here next time at the river. I hope to see you soon, encouraged in the Word of God. Amen? God bless you.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the river, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.